Are you ready to talk Padres baseball?
We've got you covered.
Today, it's day baseball in San Francisco before the Padres head home for their last homestand before the All-Star break, which will be good this year, but amazing next year.
Now you're really going to make people's heads explode.
Also in studio, we've got Mike Grace, who enjoyed his appearance on Padres Social Hour last time so much, we decided to bring him back and make his day again.
I didn't get emotional, but I enjoyed the heck out of that show. That was a really, really special.
Now, broadcasting from the AMR studio, it's Padres Social Hour, presented by United Airlines, with your hosts, Jesse Agler and Mike Grace.
Just two of the absolute best words in the English language when put together. Day baseball. Welcome to Padres Social Hour, presented by United Airlines. We're at Petco Park, which is very, very quiet right now. But tomorrow night and through the weekend, we'll be rocking as we're at the AMR studio inside the Western Metal Supply Company building with Mike Grace. I'm Jesse Agler. Padres and Giants coming up at 12:45. 12:45 first pitch. Chris Heston will be going for San Francisco against the ace, James Shields. James Shields. Hey, how you doing, Mike Grace?
I'm doing well. Two words that I'm tired of hearing, though. Rubber game.
Oh, you want sweeps?
Man, just that, the chance to sweep. It seems like every single series this team has been in, there's been a rubber game. And here we are again. You had a great win against Madison Bumgarner. You go into the series, you're like, okay, you're facing Bumgarner. That's tough.
Yeah.
That's as tough as it gets.
Sure.
You come out of it with a win.
W.
That's your best chance at a sweep for a series. If you can get that big win against the tough pitcher, then you go out against Ryan Vogelsong.
And you don't score a run. Not a single run. Not uno.
Again.
Zero.
Against him. Again.
Twice this season he's pitched in a game that the Padres were shut out. It was the 11th time this season that the Padres were shut out. Four of those 11 have come against San Francisco. And as you just said, twice now, Vogelsong was the starting pitcher for them. I spent like all day yesterday and the day before talking about pitching being the issue for this team, and then they go and they get shut out to shut me up. But I mean, it sort of seems like it's all or nothing. I still think the starting pitching is the larger issue, and we'll get to Ian Kennedy and everything that took place with him in last night's game. But they have been shut out an alarming number of times this year.
I guess the problem for me, and I think it does go back to the pitching on some level, because I think these guys are just human, and when you get down 5-0, things change.
Your mindset changes.
If that inning could have finished 1-0, 2-0, like it really should have, or even, you know, they were all unearned runs. So
in
theory, you could have gotten out of that. But when you get down 5-0, and we saw the team come back from big deficits earlier in the year, you had more guys going well. You've got probably your two best hitters not going well right now. And for me, on the offensive front, that's probably your biggest thing. Upton and Norris have essentially carried this team. Will Myers when he was healthy, but that hasn't been that much. And you can't expect those two guys to be hot all year. And unfortunately, they're going through struggles at the same time. Upton did have two hits last night. He had a big double, but it's still the power hasn't been there like we've seen that has carried this team when they have won. And you need other guys in the lineup. And, you know, obviously you're going to look at Matt Kemp, who has struggled for the majority of the year. Will Middlebrooks hasn't quite been what you've hoped he might be, going back to what he did in Boston. You need more guys to step up, and especially with power numbers. You know, Will Venables put the ball in play, gotten a lot of hits. The power hasn't been there like we've seen from him in the past. You need some guys to step up when your top two guys aren't going well.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's one of the things they're waiting on offensively without a doubt. And then yesterday, sort of more of the same, right? You know, you have a defensive miscue and then a pitcher who can't dig himself out of that hole. And is it Ian Kennedy's fault that Middlebrooks had trouble handling that ground ball to lead off that inning? No, of course not.
No.
But are the two walks that came afterwards, the single, the grand slam, you know, on him? Absolutely. And we've seen that a lot this year. Pat Murphy talked about that inning after the game last night. Here's what he said about the error in the second inning last night.
Can't give him five outs. You know, I thought we gave him extra outs there. We got to make the play on defense early. And that changes things significantly. And then there's a bunt out in front of the plate that normally we turn that into a double play. I mean, it's right there. Mm-hmm. At least throw the guy out of second, maybe two with a pitcher running. So I think if you give him those extra outs, it's a different game. I thought Ian threw the ball well. Mistake to Posey, you know, changeup was over the middle of the plate, and probably better to go breaking ball there with Posey than change up. But, you know, if you executed better, then you know, we're not even talking about it. But, you know, again, it was very similar to that Diamondbacks game where seven runs on two hits or whatever. There's five runs on, what was it, two hits or something like that? Five runs on two hits at the time. And you can't give them extra ones. You know, you gotta play defense before and after that.
That's not the first time we've heard that sort of thing from a Padre manager this year. It's not the first time we've sort of watched something like that all take place. I'm going to go out to Twitter pretty early here because it's frustrating, and I get that. Jimbo checks in and he says, hey, the Padres are just as frustrating as watching the England cricket team. Very relatable. Very relatable. By the way, England beat New Zealand today by 56 runs.
Did they?
At Old Trafford.
Is that one of those three-day matches or a single match?
I have no idea.
I've attempted to understand cricket many times, and I've failed miserably each and every time. But their latest result from Tuesday, they beat up on New Zealand. 56 runs. That's a blowout, right?
God bless the internet.
Yeah.
I have no idea what that means.
No, me neither. The score, I don't even know how to read the score. I've got it up here. 191 over 7, parentheses 20. That was the England score. 191/7 (20). New Zealand, 135/10 (16.2).
No, I think this is chemistry class.
Yeah.
This is not a sports score.
But anyway, I don't know why Jimbo's so frustrated by the England cricket team when they blew New Zealand out. 56 runs. When was the last time you saw a baseball team win by 56 runs?
Here's my guess is that they do that, and then they get shut out by somebody else, and they're just as frustrated. A wild stab in the dark. Absolutely.
Yeah, no, I'm thinking that might be more of the same. Jellyman on Twitter wants to know our comment on Murphy's quote about tonight's game being a microcosm of the season. Well, it's funny that Pat Murphy said that. It's funny that Jellyman tweeted that, because that was one of the things I wrote down last night in my scorebook as I'm watching the game. And I said, man, really going back to the Kennedy stuff and the error and it falling apart after that, we have seen this happen over and over again. Here is what Pat Murphy said about it being a microcosm last night.
I've been told by the staff that I trust, you know, that this has kind of been a microcosm of the season, you know, that you know, they haven't been able to sustain it. They've had games like this, you know, and you know, we've got to change that. You know, that's all there's to it. You got to change it. And it's not. I didn't say it was easy. I didn't say that there's answers, you know, right behind the curtain here, and we got them. But you know, there's reason for hope with the pitching staff the way it is. I mean, we've got to play defense behind them, and I don't separate them. They take care of each other, you know what I mean? And it's not just the defense's fault and not Ian's fault. You know, like, it's all kind of together.
That's right. It is all kind of together, and again, that was the case.
First of all, I've really enjoyed Pat Murphy as a manager and the way he speaks post-game. There's a lot of openness about him, and this has nothing to do with Buddy or anybody else that has been a manager. I've just enjoyed the way he speaks to the media and the way he talks. For me, the last two games are the microcosm of the season, where you have a win where everybody wants to say this is the win that gets you going, that starts that winning streak or that 10 out of 12 or whatever the case may be, and then the next night is the egg that they lay. So in that sense, it's absolutely been the microcosm.
Like England and New Zealand, same thing.
Exactly like that. I mean, it's the perfect
analogy.
Yeah, thank you.
Jimbo was dead on.
Dead on.
Jimbo was dead. I mean, I've been watching a lot of England cricket this year, and the parallels, it's frightening.
You're more of a man of the world than I am, so being the soccer guy and now clearly the cricket aficionado, I'm going to take your lead on this one.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's a microcosm.
I'm going to read between Jimbo's lines
and
figure out what probably happened with the English cricket team.
Is there like a standings? Can I go to cricket.com and check the England standings? Will they be 4-6 in their last 10 also? Like, how does that work?
You probably have to go to cricket.eu,
I'm
guessing, right?
Because it's a European thing, you're saying.
I guess.
Well, New Zealand's not in Europe.
That's true. That's fair. I don't know.
Huh. All right, we'll figure it out. We'll figure out this cricket talk.
Maybe we can put a blooper on it
as time goes on. I would not say that would work well.
No.
No, I would say that
he
would
can
not
get
work
us
well.
A cricketer to sit over here on the couch.
Can you get us? How about a jockey? Can you get us a jockey?
That I can do.
Okay.
Oh.
How about a Triple Crown winning jockey?
I can do that.
All right.
The best in the biz.
How about tomorrow?
Yes.
All right. There you go.
You put him on the spot and he delivered.
First time.
I did something.
Victor. No, you did nothing. It was set up for you. Victor Espinoza.
That's cool.
American Pharaoh. The jockey. Who was with us last year after he won the Preakness, right? That's when he came in. After the Kentucky Derby, he came in. That's why he didn't win the Triple Crown last year.
But then he won the Preakness after
then
that.
Right, but then he didn't come back, and that's why he didn't win the Belmont. But this year,
He did it all.
He won the Triple Crown, first one in a long time. What, 1978, I think, is the last Triple Crown before this year. So Victor Espinoza will be at the ballpark tomorrow throwing out a ceremonial first pitch. I hope that wasn't a secret. And he'll be stopping by Padres Social Hour as well. So nice job, Blooper. You got one. Next up, Taylor Swift. We'll take a break, and when we return, more on yesterday's 6-0 loss to the San Francisco Giants. We'll certainly talk about Matt Kemp out of the leadoff position. He's there again this afternoon. And on top of all of that, another interesting lineup twist today from Pat Murphy and the Padre coaching staff. James Shields not in the number 9 hole. We'll discuss all of that and get to your Twitter questions and comments, cricket-related or otherwise. You can use the hashtag PadresSH on Twitter, PadresSH. Also, we will go to Padres.com/social hour and see if people are chatting with one another there and hanging out. Dress in your best red, white, and blue for the America-themed Sunday Fun Day this weekend at Petco Park. Every fan who purchases a $25 Sunday Fun Day package receives America-themed koozie and a drink ticket. So get your tickets today at Padres.com/Sunday Fun Day. Padres.com/Sunday Fun Day. What could be bad? We'll take a break, come back, more on last night's game, more on the starting lineup right after this.
We're back to the AMR studio located in the Western Metal Supply Company building. It's more of Padre Social Hour.
Welcome back. Padre Social Hour presented by United Airlines. Jesse Agler with Mike Grace on this Thursday morning, getting you ready for the series finale about 1 hour from now between the Padres and the Giants from AT&T Park in San Francisco, California. Who was the guy that tweeted about cricket? What was his name?
Jimbo.
Jimbo making the comparison between the England cricket team and the Padres. We looked up during the break the ICC 2020 championship standings. And again, big win for England over New Zealand earlier this week. But he's right, very middle of the pack for England. You know, in 28 matches, 1,653 points, which is middle of the pack. They've got a 103 rating, which, you know, like if that's a test at school, that sounds great. Hey, I got a 103. But Sri Lanka and India up at the top of the standings, their ratings are 125 and 124 respectively. Certainly not one of the worst squads in the ICC 2020, but very frustrating middle of the pack.
I don't think their run differential is indicative of the team that they are.
So they got some bad luck, you think?
I think so. The BABIP in cricket is just as big as it is in baseball.
You know, BABIP is a big deal in cricket,
I
think.
I don't even know where the foul lines are. Like, I watch.
No, the whole thing is in play, I think.
And they shank it, like, backwards, and it's in play somehow. It's the
most bizarre game. The whole pitch is in play.
Oh, it's a pitch. That's right.
I think. I'm, like, 40% sure.
All I know is when the Dodgers and the D-backs went to Australia to play.
The Sydney Cricket Grounds.
They played on the cricket grounds.
But they had to reconfigure it a little bit.
Yes.
Because they needed foul territory for baseball. Because the whole thing is not – can you imagine that, though? Everything was like Oakland. We're like –
I was just like playing at the ODOT Coliseum.
Yeah, it's going to be like a whole circle and everything is in play and there's no foul balls. Like imagine if you bunt it and it kind of goes like over towards the dugout and that's a live ball. That's in play. That would be exciting.
Yeah.
That would get the kids out to the baseball games in more numbers.
It's like one of those Olympic sports where you watch – like you watch handball and you don't totally understand the rules. But
you're
just
mesmerized.
It looks really fun.
Yeah.
It looks like, oh, that would be fun.
Yeah, like I would enjoy that. Team handball.
You ever seen a cricket ball?
Yeah, sure. It's like a rubber ball, right?
No.
It's harder?
Oh, no. It's wood.
It's a wood ball?
It's like wrapped with twine around it. Oh. Like, it is really hard. It's a really physically hard ball.
Yes, very. That's why they got to wear the big shin guards.
Right.
The batters. The batsmen. The batsman has to wear
like
the
hockey goalies.
Exactly. Or at least lacrosse goalies.
Oh.
They come out there with the big pads because you don't want to take one of those things off the shin.
No.
They're like Barry Bonds up there with all the armor.
They're big wickets.
That's the bat.
You would think it'd be easy to hit that ball with that size of a bat.
I would say so.
Right?
Yeah. Let's play cricket this weekend.
I'm in.
All right.
I know where to actually find a pickup game of cricket.
I don't have the time to commit. They last days, right?
And you have to wear all white. It's like being at Wimbledon.
I don't have any white clothes.
No, you don't have white pants?
No, I don't.
I'm
fair-skinned. I don't wear a lot of white.
You haven't been in the Hamptons at one of Diddy's parties?
No. He doesn't invite me. All right, 6-0 last night.
Off track.
Was the score. We talked about Middlebrooks. We talked about Kennedy and the error and the kind of coming out of the error. But obviously when you're shut out, the offense is part of the deal as well. And it kind of felt like top of the fourth was the shot.
Yeah.
Early on at least. Second and third, nobody out. And Norris, Venable, Middlebrooks come up. Nope. And that was it. And 0 for 7 with runners in scoring position last night.
So the Norris at bat, curious your thoughts. I mean, he gets rung up on a pitch that's outside the zone.
Yeah.
I don't want to get into umpire talk. But at the same time, this is one of those new school, old school philosophies where a ground ball to the right side gets a run home.
Right.
The ball's on the outside edge of the plate. In all likelihood, should probably be swinging at that pitch to try to put the ball on the ground on the right side, because two ground balls from Norris and Venable gets you two runs. It's a three-run game. You're back in it. Now, new school theory says you don't play for one run at a time, but I don't know. For me, I want to see the ball.
At some point, the count has to dictate your approach.
Right. Two strikes, you have to change your approach. But nobody does that anymore. Nobody changes to a two-strike approach.
You sound like an angry old man. You sound like
Bill
Center.
And that bothered me watching the game. I'm like, I feel like I'm a new school guy. I look at the numbers. I've lessened my approach on strikeouts being evil. I understand that.
Yeah.
But at the same time, when you've got second and third, nobody out, nothing good can come from a strikeout. Nothing.
Unless it gets away from the catcher.
Right. But
if
it's
run scores.
And if you're looking at it and you're rung up looking, you know, the likelihood
help.
Of that going by. So that was the thing. And then Yonder gets in the rundown. Basically gets to second and third. Same situation there. That wasn't a big deal. But and a little luck there. Will gets a little more on the ball. There's a run scored. But the pitcher's able to glove it. Gets into the rundown. I mean, but again, a fly ball. No two-strike approach. They don't get a fly ball to score a run on a sacrifice fly. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. It's one of those things that really plays with my emotions.
Yeah.
Because
you are very emotional.
About Padres baseball, who can't be? But yeah, it just really stuck with me. That entire inning, it was such a what is the right thing to do there. And, I mean, obviously, Derek Norris does not want to strike out looking, but that is what happened.
Yeah.
So all over the place.
All right, there you go. No, I certainly understand the frustration and where you're coming from. So that's sort of the next to last thing I want to talk about from last night's game. The final one would probably be the batting order and Matt Kemp batting leadoff. He goes 0 for 4. That does not mean the experiment was a failure. I saw a little bit too much of that on Twitter for my taste last night. Oh, so much for Matt Kemp batting leadoff. One game, man. One game. We're not making declarations one way or the other. If he were 4 for 4 last night with two homers, I wouldn't be sitting here telling you that Pat Murphy is the greatest manager in the history of baseball. It would still be, hey, it was one game. I'd be happy, but it's just the one game. And he is leading off again today. But a fun moment on Fox Sports San Diego last night. Chris Budden was working on getting some sound, as we say in the biz, for Matt Kemp about batting leadoff, and Justin Upton sort of took over the interview.
How do you feel about batting leadoff today?
I feel great, man. I'm just happy to be in the lineup today. It doesn't matter where I hit, I'm gonna take the same approach and just try to do whatever it takes to make this help this team win.
Do you still feel like you have the speed to steal bases if you get on there?
For sure. I have the confidence that I can, you know, read the pitchers and see what they're doing and you know, steal in those situations where I can get in scoring position, like guys like, you know, Justin Upton. Yonder, and all the rest of those guys. So just drive me in, please.
Will do.
All right.
Do I still get paid?
No.
Okay.
Not bad.
No.
Not bad. I like how Kemp, like, straight played it until he couldn't anymore.
He
was just going with it.
Yeah.
That's nice to see. That's
the
kind of looseness that you like to see.
Yeah, you definitely need that at this point. And, you know, I mean, this is another one of those new school, old school things where I don't think where these guys hit in the order matters to their approach anymore at all. I think major league players are going to go up and they're going to swing really hard at things they think are in the strike zone.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think Matt changes his approach at all. Now, I like in theory that maybe he takes a pitch more than he would before, because I think one of the problems for Matt this year is he has not been getting in hitters counts for the most part. I think that's something that's really continued his struggles, is getting behind in counts, and then he's having to swing at pitches outside of the zone because he's trying to protect with two strikes. And he did get in a few better counts. Now, it didn't come to any positive results, so in theory I like that for him. But for the most part, I don't think these guys are going to change their approach. Pat said it's possible to get him a couple more at-bats over mm-hmm. the course of a couple weeks. I like that. That's the only thing that's going to get him going at this point, is more at-bats. And at some point, maybe you do think he's a six-day-a-week player. He gets a day off every week. If it's coming to that, if it's becoming a physical thing for him, he wants to be in the lineup every day, but he may be a guy that needs a day more often than he's ever been accustomed to.
Really interesting article by our buddy Scott Miller on Bleacher Report today about the preparation obsession, as they worded it in the headline, you know, for baseball players and sort of all of the video and getting to the ballpark so early. We'll talk a little bit more about that in a few minutes. But I want to get to a couple of tweets from our buddy Joe Costanzo. He goes, you guys definitely don't suck. Thank you.
Thanks.
Kind of bummed you didn't get an Emmy. I don't believe we're an Emmy-nominated program, Joe. I don't believe that's happened.
But I think that's Blooper's fault because he didn't actually nominate us.
You didn't nominate ourselves? You didn't nominate yourself?
I can do that?
I have no idea. I don't know how that works.
I don't really know either.
I have no idea how that works. But our friends at Fox Sports San Diego, they cleaned up this year, man. They dominated. What, 6 Emmy wins?
Yeah.
For the region? Nice job. To everybody at Fox Sports San Diego. But Blooper, maybe next year you nominate yourself.
Yeah, no, I'll look into that.
Best producer of a multimedia program focusing on one team and one sport. It's a very precise category.
I think we got that.
I think we could. If they create that category, we have a definite, like, at least 20% chance of winning.
Or maybe best show opens for producery producing type things.
I like it.
I don't know about that. I don't know about that. Joe has a baseball question. He says, do you anticipate more coaching moves after the All-Star break? I assume he means changes on the coaching staff.
Yeah.
I would guess no. I don't think you mess with things after the managerial switch. I think that's it. You try and get everybody settled in, and you sort of ride it out and see what happens.
Yeah, I think you've made your staff changes for the year. I don't see any types of changes really at all going forward.
Okay. Yeah.
No, I think that one's pretty straight. Cut and dry.
Cut and dry. All right, there you go. We'll take a break when we come back. I want to talk about Scotty Miller's article about the preparation obsession and how maybe sometimes too much work is not good.
Yeah.
Some interesting points there, not only made by Scott, but some people he talked to around baseball, including the Pirate manager, Clint Hurdle. We'll do that, plus some more of your questions and comments as we roll on. A couple of really good questions from yesterday's show that we didn't have time to get to, and I promised both James and Alex Pena 07 that we would get to their questions today, so we will do that as well. Extraordinary moments happen every night in baseball, but on one night, they all happen in one place. Don't miss the 86th All-Star Game. Coverage begins at 4 o'clock on Tuesday, July 14th. Check it out on Fox, Tuesday, July 14th. We'll take a break, come back, talk about today's batting order and the preparation obsession for hitters around baseball. This is Padres Social Hour live from the AMR studio.
We're back to the show that gives you everything San Diego Padres. It's Padres Social Hour, presented by United Airlines.
Welcome back, Padres Social Hour with Mike Grace. I'm Jesse Agler. Talking a little bit about last night's 6-0 loss to the San Francisco Giants. Another shutout defeat, which sets up a rubber match today. James Shields and Chris Heston. He's the guy that threw a no-hitter against the Mets.
He did.
A couple of weeks ago. He's not been good since he threw the no-hitter.
Nope.
Blooper reminded me yesterday, 1 year ago today, was the Tim Lincecum no-hitter up there. It was a day game, and you were co-hosting the show with me. And what did you say on the show before the game?
I said something along the lines of, you never know what you're going to get from Tim Lincecum. He could give up 7 or he can no-hit you. And
then?
He no-hit us.
Yeah. You did it.
Oh, I took so much grief for that around the office. That was not a fun day.
That was 1 year
so
ago today.
Many levels.
So what do we get out of Chris Heston today? What's your scouting? You know what? How about let me try it the other way. What about James Shields? What do you think about James Shields?
Hey, I mean, James Shields has been really good. He's given this team what they need. They need a win. He's going to give it to them. And you never know. He might go out and no hit them.
All right.
It's
Mark
possible.
The tape. Mark the tape. It's marked. Hey, let's take a look at the starting lineup for today's game between the Padres and the Giants. It's a different-looking lineup,
yeah,
for sure.
Big time.
Not just because Matt Kemp is at the top of the batting order for the Padres, but Pat Murphy doing some other things. The lineup is presented by United Airlines. Proud to fly the Padres and fans to every away game. United, fly the friendly skies. So, yes, Matt Kemp is leading off and playing right field. Venable second, Alonso third, Upton fourth. Okay, pretty standard, at least as far as last night was concerned. Middlebrooks will bat fifth at third base. Amarista sixth, Hedges seventh, and James Shields is batting eighth with Corey Spangenberg hitting ninth. So for the first time this season, the Padres have the pitcher hitting eighth. Now, Shields has been very good at the plate.
Yeah.
Each of his last two starts, he has started a rally in the fifth inning, both time with two outs. So Shields will bat eighth, and you sort of get that so-called second leadoff man with Spangenberg batting ninth. What do you make of this, sir?
It definitely feels kind of like an American League lineup, like you said. You in the American League, and you can correct me if I'm wrong because I follow very little American League baseball, but usually your nine hitter is more like a second leadoff hitter so that you can have your run producers at the top of the lineup have a better chance of more guys on. Obviously, you don't do this with Odrysa Despaigne starting. You feel better about James Shields. But if you are going to bat Matt Kemp leadoff, a guy with a history of being a run producer, you do want to give him a chance to have guys on to possibly drive in. So it makes sense to have Spangenberg at the back of the lineup, possibly getting on for Matt Kemp.
That's it. That's right? It. I like the idea. And look, this is a thing we've seen Tony La Russa do. Joe Maddon, I believe, has done it every single game for the Cubs this year that they've played in a National League ballpark, or nearly every game, if not every single game. And the batting, the sort of slumping power guy first, also a Joe Maddon thing. He used to do that semi-regularly in Tampa Bay. I remember Carlos Pena a couple of years ago was batting leadoff at times for them. He's sort of channeling his inner Joe Maddon. We got a tweet. We're not going to put it up on the screen, but it comes from Friar Blue. And he says, hey, Murphy's the next Maddon, but he wants to know why Kemp and Upton are interviewing each other and not taking batting practice. And that sort of takes us right into this article that we were referring to that Scott Miller wrote on Bleacher Report today. I think anytime a player struggles in any sport, a lot of fans sort of go to the knee-jerk reaction of more practice, more BP, more drills, more this, more that. And it's not that simple, man. Like, Matt Kemp isn't hitting what he's hitting because of a lack of batting practice.
Yep.
You know, and one could argue, and Scott Miller sort of does, with support from guys like Paul Molitor and Clint Hurdle, that maybe too much of that stuff can be a detriment to a hitter. And it's a really good story, and you should go read it. He's got a lot of really good quotes, and it's not going to do justice for me to try and summarize it. But the long story short is these guys are saying, hey, man, Paul Molitor, Hall of Fame, says, I used to get to the ballpark at 5 for a 7 o'clock game,
yep.
5 p.m., the guys today are getting it at 1. And now some of that is like the food and the facilities and sort of the atmosphere, which is great. But it's the video, indoor BP, video, then normal BP. And they're saying, hey, sometimes you can do too much. There's too much thinking going on. Sometimes you got to take a step back and just play the game a little bit. It's a really interesting, compelling read. A lot of great food for thought in there.
It really is. And something that Molitor said that I found really interesting was that the extra work in all this batting practice and video study, it's almost like a security blanket for these players. Part of it is this routine that they feel like they have to get into. If you're in the right mindset, you think you've done the work, it's going to help you be successful. But the other side of the coin there is, are you doing too much, overthinking it, overworking your body in a lot of cases?
Sure.
You can take too much BP. But it's funny how this all relates. You read that tweet, and professional athletes, as connected as they are and as much as we know about them, they almost have to do all that extra work to be above criticism. Because somebody says, hey, why, you know, we took a 2-minute clip where Justin Upton went over and interviewed Matt Kemp.
30 seconds, not even 2 minutes.
There's nothing, he couldn't be on the field taking batting practice.
During BP.
It's not during BP. I mean, there are times that you can't be doing baseball things. And so, is it a big deal? No, not at all. We know that. So, but at the same time, like, that's the criticism that comes first when you see anything like that. So there's so much to it. It's a really, really fascinating article.
My point would be, don't do something because you're worried about a guy on Twitter criticizing you. Like, that's it. Like, that you should be doing what you are doing. You're right, and it's not that easy. But you should do what is best for you, not what's best for what people think from the outside, who have absolutely no idea. And I'm not talking about the one guy who just tweeted in. That's, you know, he's entitled to whatever. But, like, if you're worried that everybody out there is going to think you're not trying hard enough because you're not taking 6 hours of batting practice every day, but it's not, if it's detrimental to you, well, no, because at the end of the day, the on-field results are what matter. And I mean, one of the quotes here, and I think it was from Molitor, was you can get paralyzed. He used the word paralyzed in the batter's box because you're doing too much thinking. You're doing, you know, well, I watched the video, and he likes to do this and that. And it's really, really interesting. Another example from the article that Scotty has is Ned Yost last year in Kansas City had to put the brakes on Alex Gordon. He says he always wanted to hit in the third group during BP because during the first two groups, he would shag like it was a World Series game, running around trying to catch every single ball. Finally, Yost issued an ultimatum. Gordon was either going to move into the second group of hitters during BP and then conclude his pregame work, or Yost was going to force him to take days off. He said, "You're working too hard." He said this to one of his star players who was struggling and who was going all out during BP and while shagging balls in the outfield. And he goes, "Hey, you got to do less." So more isn't always better. And I think that's something really important to keep in mind. And the analogy I drew, and I tweeted this to Scott, was it reminds me of these NFL coaches who think that they've got to be in the office till 3 a.m. and they've got a cot where they take a 90-minute nap at night and then they're right back to work. Like, it just sort of became a thing somewhere along the lines where other people were doing it. Oh, so I got to do it,
right?
Lest people think I'm not working hard enough. And it's maybe a little bit of the similar thing here. And look, for some guys, this routine works for them, and then that's great. But if it isn't working for you, there's no shame in backing off a little bit. And Clint Hurdle, who was a great hitting coach before he's had this success in Pittsburgh as a manager, he says he encourages guys, and he used San Diego as an example, to go out and enjoy the city when they're there. Don't try and get to the ballpark at 1 o'clock for a 7:10 first pitch. He said, you know, go over to Coronado, get on the duck boat and do the tour. Go to one of the military bases. You know, get away from baseball for a few minutes. And for anybody out there that's got a job that is really mentally demanding and stressful, you should know, you should understand the value of getting away from it, even if it's for an hour and a half or 2 hours, and how nice it is to be able to clear your mind and not think about it. And a lot of this sort of goes into that deeper psychology of baseball, which is a complex world, obviously. But yeah, the answer is not always more batting practice. And in many cases, I think, and certainly the article would suggest, it could be fewer swings in the cage or BP or whatever.
Especially when you look at baseball and the baseball schedule, these guys get like legitimately 11 days off to not do their job over the course of 7.5 months. And when you think about what we do in our regular jobs, you get 4, 6, 8 days off every single month to not have to worry about your job, depending on what your job is. But these guys work for 7.5 months and legitimately get 11 days off.
And a lot of those days are spent on airplanes.
Right.
You know, not at home at the beach or with the kids. They're spent, you know, flying from San Diego to St. Louis or whatever, where you're losing 3/4 of a day just because of air travel.
In the pressure cooker of a media-driven business where everybody's criticizing everything you do, it makes a ton of sense. Just thinking about what most people are like after a vacation. You're recharged. You're refreshed. You got away. You got your mind right away from things. It was very thought-provoking, and that's the other thing about baseball. Baseball, it's really hard to play harder. Like, you can go to a basketball game, and you're like, okay, I'm going to play really, really hard defense. You really can't play baseball any harder than these guys do. Like, you can't give extra effort. In football, you can have a better game plan or things like that. Baseball is so random and a lot of luck into what you do. You could hit the ball really, really hard, and it's right at somebody. So baseball is just different in that sense that it's almost – you can't play it any harder than you really do, for the most part. I mean, there are guys that don't do everything right.
Of course.
For the most part, it's a game that it's going to be what it's going to be, and you've got to find a way to relax a little bit.
I leave you with some Clint Hurdle from this story. And, again, everybody should read it. You know, you follow Scott on Twitter, and you find it on his link, or I tweeted it out. Just go to bleacherreport.com and find it. Here's Clint Hurdle. "I like everybody to work. I like everybody to show up at the appropriate time. But we don't need eyewash. We don't just need to be there to say we were there. What are you doing with your time? As John Wooden said, there's a great difference between activity and achievement. I know in our clubhouse, we have a relaxation room where the guys can actually go and nap. We've got timers. It makes sense. There's documentation out there for it. You want to talk about crazy evolution of the game? If you fell asleep in the locker room before, you'd get beaten. Now you've got a place where you can go."
Yep.
Things change. Again, the answer is not always more batting practice.
Yeah.
In fact, it can be detrimental. We'll take a break. When we come back, we'll get back to Twitter questions, comments, all of that. Definitely, again, encourage you so much to read that article from Scott Miller. Do you know an all-star mom? Well, Arm & Hammer and OxiClean, the official laundry detergent and stain fighter of Major League Baseball, are going to recognize one all-star mom and send her and her family to the 2015 All-Star Game in Cincinnati. So go to allstarmom.com and tell us what makes your mom so special. Allstarmom.com. Take a break. Come back. More Twitter questions. This is Padres Social Hour presented by United.
Welcome back to the AMR studio. Live inside Petco Park, this is Padres Social Hour.
Welcome back to the show with Mike Grace. I'm Jesse Agler. Remember, you can join us on Twitter. Use the hashtag PadresSH. Just about, 34 minutes away from first pitch in San Francisco. Padres and the Gigantes, the Giants coming up It'll be James Shields and Chris Heston. And then tomorrow, the Padres return home. A three-game series this weekend against Arizona, and then a two-game set against Seattle Tuesday and Wednesday, right?
It's going to be heated.
Natural rivalry.
Yeah.
Yeah, Vetter Cup. Monday is an off day, and then Tuesday and Wednesday against Seattle. And those are the last five home games for the Padres before the All-Star game.
That's crazy. And it's exactly 40 home games that they'll hit.
There you go.
They finish the homestand.
So just about halfway through the home schedule. Crazy, crazy, crazy. Let's do our Supercuts head-to-head challenge. Last night, the couch won again.
Yes.
Is that three in a row? Two in a row? Three out of four, I think. The couch is closing in on Blooper. Blooper's lead is down to two. The way the Supercuts head-to-head challenge works is every day that we do it, the couch, today Mike Grace represents the couch, but it could be Randy or Bill or Kurt or whoever. Mm-hmm. The couch chooses somebody in the head-to-head challenge. Blooper chooses somebody in the head-to-head challenge, and then I declare a winner. The next day, and I declared the couch the winner today. Yonder Alonso had as good a night as anybody last night for the Padres, so he picks up a point for the couch. And today we select once again. And Grace, who are you going with?
I'm going to defer.
Really? You don't do that? Well, there's no deference.
I can't defer?
No, it's not. It's not football.
Really?
This is not a coin toss. Oh. It's something you have to choose. You've got the first pick.
All right. Do I go out on a limb or do I go?
You don't ask for advice. You just answer the question.
All right. James Shields.
All right.
Go with the eight hitter.
He's taking the ace and the eight hitter, James Shields. Blooper, what do you got?
I'm going with the nine hitter, Spangenberg.
Oh, he's rolling with Spangy.
See, that would have been made my choice. I was going to go with Spangenberg.
You know, you don't get to hedge. I don't like that. You made your choice.
No. I'm not
you
trying
roll
to
with
hedge.
It. Because now when Spangenberg has a big day, you'd be like, oh, that was my other choice.
He had like three hits against Heston the last time we played him. And
so then why didn't you take him?
Because I
– You went safe.
I went safe.
All right.
That's
well,
it. That's why I wanted him to pick first, and you didn't help.
All right, so Spangenberg and Shields, the two selections in the Supercuts head-to-head challenge. Remember, you can play the home game by watching or listening to the ball game. That's it. At Supercuts – Yeah, no, that's all you have to do. Yep. They pay attention to every detail, the cut, the lines, the hot towel finish, so you can feel sharp, clean, and ready to go. Find a Supercuts near you at supercuts.com. Let's go back to Twitter and a couple of good questions that came in yesterday. We just mentioned Corey Spangenberg. James says, what is the long-term role for Spangenberg? Is he an infielder or is he an outfielder? Today he is a number nine hitter starting at second base. I would guess infielder over outfielder, but where on the infield and whether he's a regular player or a spot starter or a bench guy or a super sub, I don't know that I know yet. What do you think about long-term Spangy?
I'd say if I had to – you put a gun to my head and made me guess, I'd say he's going to be –
I wouldn't do that, by the way.
You know, I know you're a very nice man. But if you did, on the off chance, I would say he's probably kind of a super utility player, a Sean Figgins type, where if he's hot, you ride him, you put him in all over the different – places because he can't play the outfield. He could possibly play center field with his speed, but he hasn't shown an affinity for consistency to be an everyday player, and his versatility around the diamond has made him valuable there. So probably a utility infielder with some opportunity to play the outfield, similar to what Alexi Amarista was before this year. But you never know. Guys develop, and they could become an everyday player. Who knows? Very young player, still a lot to see in his baseball
career. The main thing. The guy's 24 years old. He turned 24 during spring training. So to say that like the book is written forever on Corey Spangenberg, I think, is a little bit silly. You never know how a guy is going to develop over time. You don't know if it's going to be here or elsewhere, whatever. I would say wait and see on Corey Spangenberg. But right now he's doing a really nice job in the role that he's been given.
Yep.
In 2015. He's been one of those, you know, things you can smile about this season. Alex on Twitter, he's got a question. If the Padres didn't make the moves they made, talking about all the trades in the offseason, would the team have 35 wins? So would they be as successful as they have been, as disappointing as it's been, had they not made all of those moves? I've got a pretty strong opinion on this, but you're the guest, Mike Grace. Mm-hmm. What do you think? If they would have just rolled with, Maben and Venable and maybe Quinton, I don't know, in the outfield, and all the other guys would still be here, and Grandal obviously is having a nice season with the Dodgers. If they would have left last year's teams the same instead of making these deals, would they have fewer wins, more wins, same number of wins?
I would say less wins. I just think that you can't it's not apples to oranges. You can't say that Cameron Maben would be doing exactly what he's doing in Atlanta. A lot of times guys do need a change of scenery. It's interesting, a guy like Jace Peterson, it's a bit of a small sample size. He is playing very well for Atlanta, but he's not doing that much more than what you're getting out of your other infielders. I think a lot of times you need a culture change, and that's what this team needed. That's probably the most frustrating thing about this year. If you would have taken this offense on last year's pitching staff,
right,
you're in the playoffs. And how many times do we say, we just need a guy to go out and hit 250 and drive in runs? And that's exactly what Matt Kemp is doing. Matt Kemp is doing what last year's team needed. Now, you're probably disappointed because of what he's done in the past. Justin Upton is exactly what last year's team needed. And if we, that's what's so frustrating.
That to me, answers right. The question is that they wouldn't have 35 wins. And, of course, it's kind of a fantasy land question. There's no way to know, but I think they'd be worse because the pitching this year hasn't been nearly as good as last year.
Yeah, why would
so
you
if you had the regressed offense from last season, it would be ugly. I think it would be really ugly. And you know, this offense has helped them win some games. But that is the whole shebang for the Padre team this year, is that the offense has been better than last year. The pitching has been noticeably worse, and that's the issue as far as I'm concerned. As your hometown pet retailer, Petco is proud to partner with the Padres and with Petco Park. So thank you, San Diego, for sharing in our passion for pets and baseball. Petco, the power of together. Take a break, come back, and Mike Grace is going to be on the hot seat. You don't want to miss it. Padres Social Hour, presented by United.
You want some Padres talk?
We've got that.
Padres Social Hour returns now, presented by United Airlines.
Okay, welcome back. Jesse Agler, Mike Grace. Day Baseball coming up 25 minutes from now in San Francisco. We were just talking about, you know, sort of what ails the Padres and, you know, comparing last year to this year. And obviously a lot of that is sort of mystical. You know, if the offense was the same as last year, would the pitching be better? If these guys were here instead of there, would they be doing what they're doing elsewhere? Whatever. But 3B Zine Podcast on Twitter – here you go. He's going to put you on the Cholula hot seat, Mike Grace. He goes, what are the key issues with your eyes? We just discussed that. So how do we fix? So we just talked about what the issues are. So what's the fix, Mike Grace? You're on the hot seat. You're going to tell us. Thank you for the compliment about the socks, sir, as always. Nicely done. So we just said, we just complained. But what's the solution?
For me, it was something, and Pat Murphy didn't even mention this in last night's game. Ian Kennedy walks Matt Duffy in front of Buster Posey before he gives up the grand slam. And, like, it's little things like that. And usually it's a walk. I think this pitching staff, which probably didn't give up a lot of walks last year, that's very, just my memory, not actually looking at the numbers. But
we call that anecdotal evidence.
Anecdotal, thank you for the word. And it's those little things. That's what's going to fix the pitching staff, which is going to fix a lot of things. It's got to come down to the starting pitching because you can only go so far on a winning streak as the next day's starting pitcher, as the cliche around here goes. So it's tightening up those little things. The defense, I don't know what you can truly do about the defense because this was somewhat expected, some of these issues. I mean, maybe the error last night, and that was a tough play for Middlebrooks, but it was thing. I don't even know if Norris gets the guy at second. I think that's a little more subjective. I don't think you maybe get the double play there. But you're going to have your starting pitchers step up. And, I mean, Cashner start the other day where so many things went wrong. I'm not going to put too much of that on him. He got two ground ball, double play ground balls in the same inning and didn't get them. But it's the walks. This pitching staff has to cut down on these crucial walks. And you can't walk a batter to load the bases in front of Buster Posey. That, to me, that's like a cardinal sin.
Throw fastballs in the strike zone and see what happens.
Matt Duffy beat me. I can't let Buster Posey come up with the bases loaded in two outs.
Yeah. All right. That's Mike Grace on the Cholula hot seat. Cholula hot sauce will elevate the flavor of your food with its delicious blend of unique peppers and authentic spices. Cholula, the flavorful hot sauce with the iconic wooden cap and proud partner of the San Diego Padres. All right. Now, tomorrow, Friday, 5 p.m., Park at the Park. You can see them. They're setting it up already. Beer Fest. It is back. Live entertainment plus $5 beers from local and national breweries. So stay for the action as the Padres take on the Diamondbacks at 7:10. Get your tickets at padres.com/beerfest. Padres.com/beerfest. It is always fun. 7 o'clock game, but the first pour at 5 p.m. out at the Park at the Park. We'll take a break, come back, wrap up Social Hour right after this.
From start to finish, it's the best 60 minutes of Padres talk you'll find anywhere. Now, from the AMR studio, it's more of Padres Social Hour.
Hey, remember the guy Joe Kelly for the Red Sox, the pitcher?
Yeah.
During the offseason, he went on a radio show in Boston and said, quote, "I want your listeners to know I'm going to win the Cy Young this year. Just let Just letting everyone know so that when I win it, you heard it here first. Pretty bold for a young pitcher. 2-5 this year with a 5.67 ERA, and he just got sent down to AAA.
Not going to do it for Pawtucket.
Probably not going to win the American League Cy Young while pitching for the Paw Sox. But hey, Joe Kelly, good effort.
Nice try.
Nice try.
Well played.
Nice effort. Hey, 5:30 show tomorrow. Ben Higgins and Kurt Pavaka will be here. I'll be filling in for Dick Enberg. Enjoy day baseball coming your way from San Francisco.